Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you think?
About what?
Did you get my text?
Oh.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Did You Get My Text? I'm Patton Oswalt.
And I'm Meredith Salinger. And this is very exciting today, Patton. You know why?
Why?
Because we're actually recording this in a real live recording studio, not just in our home place where we have microphones.
Well, hang on. Oh my God, you're right. I just now noticed that. I didn't even pay attention during the drive over here to the studio to actually record it.
The best thing is that now we're really on the spot. There are five people in a control booth watching us try to be funny.
This is totally like the Eddie Murphy Party All the Time video when they're watching him from the control booth. Can someone give me like a Rick James, like a little like a thumb, like nodding your head like the beat is just dropping?
Oh my God, he's actually looking at the people in the control booth, forcing them to perform for us. Honey, they're just doing their job. They don't.
I just look when you and any producer will tell you this. When you're there, when the artist is in the studio, you give them encouragement. You like yes, like stuff like that. You've seen it in every 80s video where the guy comes in, he's recording, and the producer over there going, "Oh my God,
that's so movies."
At one point in the Party All the Time video, it looks like Eddie Murphy makes Rick James come.
Like ew,
when he hits that high note, it looks like doesn't it look like he's having an orgasm?
Oi, no.
He's like doing this thing. He's like, yeah.
This happened last time. You looked at a picture of a girl trying to put her pants on.
Yeah.
And she was struggling because she's a chubsicle, trying to get into tight pants, which every woman understands.
The picture they used, it looked like porn.
It did not.
And everyone on Instagram agreed with me.
Okay, well, my friends didn't. My three friends said that you're gross. No, all they right. didn't. I'm kidding. They love you.
Hey, that was a total compliment to both Eddie Murphy and Rick James, that they could be communicating on that level musically.
I guess.
That they would have that kind of reaction. I think it's beautiful.
Was that the Party All the Time video?
Yes.
Boy,
and
that
I feel
song.
Like you're kink shaming right now.
I'm not.
If you orgasm because of someone's high note, don't yuck people's yum. Let them have that.
I love you.
All right. Now, I sent you a text.
About?
Well,
we had this conversation, Patton.
I know.
Every now and then you'll be like, I sent you a text, but you send me 3,000 texts a day. Mm-hmm. So when you say I sent you a text, which are you referring to?
Did you get the text about the reign of scorpions in the southern Egyptian city of Aswan?
You know, I did not get that text, but I saw that article as well.
Yes. There was, apparently there were severe.
Does it ever bother you that I didn't get your text?
Well, I do send you a lot of texts, and you are running our house and our lives like Captain Kirk. Like, you have a million things coming in. So you've got to do, like, text triage of what stuff do I look at and what stuff can I look at later. And we've talked about this before, half of my texts are just like, look, it's Debbie Harry in front of this old record store. You're like, I'm trying to get our daughter into a school. Why are you sending me this picture of Lon Chaney getting into his Wolfman makeup? This doesn't help. This doesn't help me. So I understand why you shouldn't be looking at half
well,
my texts.
Well, the problem is you'll send so many and I'll just keep scrolling. I'm like, oh, I can look at that later. I can look at that later. Oh, wait, this has to be addressed right this second.
Right.
And also I'm like, could you please stop texting me? I'm in the middle of a show or something I'm doing, but then you'll just text me anyway. Okay, so what did you talk about? Oh, yeah, the scorpion thing.
There was a plague of scorpions has hit the southern city in Egypt of Aswan, and apparently there were severe thunderstorms.
Yeah, it was like a flood. There was like a huge flood.
Flood, and it drove all these scorpions.
Millions of scorpions.
Were trying to escape the flood.
Yeah.
And were running into people's homes, which in itself, that's kind of sweet. I guess they're trying to protect themselves. However, Three people are dead.
Yeah, and
because
like,
and 80 are in the hospital right now.
Could you even imagine getting stung by a scorpion? First of all, oh, they're so scary looking. They're so scary looking.
But also seeing you're in your house and there's a carpet of scorpions running in from
die.
The outside.
I would legit.
You would. I think I would die from the disgust of seeing it even before they could sting me.
I'd be screaming so crazy loud. And also, I would try to get like stand up on like a countertop, but they could crawl up.
They can go. They can get you.
At least they don't fly.
Oh, boy.
Because a flying creature like that.
There is an amazing document.
Are there flying creatures like that? There must be.
Well, I mean, you know, like, hornets.
Well, yeah, they sting you. But, yeah. Like, you know, there's no, like, flying tarantula, which would kill, like, oh, literally, my. I would die.
If there are flying tarantulas, I leave the planet. I'm done. Shoot me into space, Jeff Bezos. Don't need to bring me back.
I mean, a friend of mine invited me to come to Vermont in the summertime, mm-hmm. and I don't want to go because of ticks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All the Lyme disease out there, man.
In fact, you are from Virginia.
Yep.
No, wait, yes, Virginia.
And when we would go play in the woods, we had to come back, and our parents would do tick checks, and I've had many a tick dug out of my scalp.
Ew, that's disgusting.
You have to use a flat knife. You can't use tweezers, because if you squeeze it, it'll burst.
That's okay.
And then it'll burst blood into your head.
But you know what's gross?
It's disgusting.
Like, you're like monkeys, looking at the other person so intensely.
Yeah.
And flea tick checking them.
Yeah.
Well, so you really need to be close with the person who's doing that.
Exactly.
So if you're like on a, you know, I don't know, at a college reunion or whatever, mm-hmm. you got to ask your buddy, hey man, can you check my balls?
Well, wait a minute. Weren't you just, you were just in Vermont?
Yeah, I stayed on the cement.
Well, okay. I thought the whole point was to go in the beautiful woods.
I was careful.
One time, there's an amazing documentary series. Called Planet Earth. I don't know if you watched Planet Earth. Beautiful. And they go to different environments, and they do the ocean, they do frozen environments, they do forests. And there's an episode called Caves. And they go investigate this massive cave system. And it's one of the most extraordinary shots I've ever seen, where it's this massive underground cave that, and I'm not exaggerating, goes to the vanishing point. In other words, it has a horizon. That's how huge this cave is.
Wow.
It just goes on forever. And I remember it was me and, I'm sorry, Alice and I and Michelle.
Reason why he just stopped himself is because all I do all day long is Alice will come home and she's like, Zayna and Clover and me. And I go, Zayna and Clover and I.
Right.
Or me and Clover. Yeah, I'm always trying to correct her grammar and she hates it. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, so
Alice and Michelle and I
are watching this, and Michelle is lying on the couch with her laptop on her lap. She's like watching it, but also doing research. And there's this shot. So they show all these bats on the ceiling, and then they go, the narrator says, and then the bats support an ecosystem of their own. And they pan down to the floor of this cave. And again, the floor goes on.
I saw this. Forever.
It is a carpet of beetles.
Yes, I saw
going
that.
Into the horizon.
Yes, it's terrifying.
And Michelle hated bugs. You hate bugs. But I have never seen somebody so effortlessly, like, she just sat up and left. She sat up the way, if you watch the old silent movie Nosferatu, the way that vampire literally stands up straight out of his coffin, that's how she got off the couch.
Oh,
it was
my
like,
God.
Goodbye. And didn't go, didn't, it was just, it was like.
She saw it and she's like,
it was
I'm
like
out.
Her body piloted her head out of the room, like, no, we're leaving. And she was like, I thought we were, nope,
and,
out we go.
And meanwhile, Alice looks at it and is like, Daddy, can we go to the spider
she
pavilion at the
it
science
was
center?
The coolest thing. And then she wants to do those goddamn tours at the Natural History Museum in
you
Los
guys
Angeles.
Took me when we first were all got together. Mm-hmm. You took me to the Science Museum. Was it at Halloween time ish?
For the Haunted Museum.
We saw the Haunted Museum, but then there's the Spider Pavilion.
Yep.
And the one thing I can't stand, well, I mean, there's millions of things I can't stand, but I really can't stand spiders.
Yes.
In fact, did I tell you that story that I did that movie with John Carpenter in Village of the Damned? Did I tell you about how I had to scream? Did I not tell? Did I not? Anyway,
no.
I did the movie Village of the Damned, mm-hmm. and there's a scene where I'm supposed to someone comes into my house and I'm supposed to turn around and scream like
right.
bloody murder.
Right.
And so they're like, and action. And I turned around and I went, ah! and John Carpenter is like, no, I need you to scream. I'm like, yeah, but I don't really like when I'm scared. I kind of just go ah! like that. And he's like, well. What are you afraid of? And I was like, I don't know, spiders. And he's like, everyone, let's take a 5-minute break. And meanwhile, we were shooting in Inverness, Northern California, right, in the woods. Mm. And so everyone took a break, and then we came back, and he had he's like, and action. And I had to turn and look, and he held up a jar of spiders. And I burst out laughing because I was like, I'm not scared of spiders in a jar. And so he said, do you want me to throw them at you? And I was like, no, I'll scream. And so then I was like, ah! And I actually screamed because he was like, I'll chuck it at you. I'm like, yeah.
He had now the idea of a jar of spiders flying on you is now in your head.
Yeah, he was going to chuck the spiders out of the jar onto me.
Well, what about the story about...
But he sent a PA out to go collect spiders.
Go collect spiders.
You know who would have been good at that job?
Who?
Alice.
Yeah. Oh, she would have loved it.
She loves spiders.
She loves them.
And then she had that birthday party with that cockroach
or something. The hissing cockroach.
And she likes that shit.
We did our first spider tour the year before I met you at night. They have these nighttime tours with flashlights because that's when the spiders are really active. It's better to go to the spider pavilion at night.
But do they drop on you?
They can.
Right. That's
but
not okay.
Although they, you know, they're up in their webs for the most part. But the girl that was giving the tour was, I thought someone was playing a prank on us. She was out of central casting, spooky goth girl, like spider girl, girl that would be into spiders.
Yeah.
She looked exactly like, I mean, kind of gorgeous in that Barbara Steele Wednesday Addams way and knew everything about spiders. She but like, of course you're the girl that
gives
the spider
tours.
Wasn't
it also Halloween?
No, but this was just how, she wasn't in a costume. This is just her.
Her
look was, oh, this is how you
I'm
look
a spider
all the time.
Girl.
But didn't a spider help you get a job?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. A million years ago, I think it was the only movie Larry David ever directed.
Yes. Sour Grapes.
Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm directed a movie called Sour Grapes, which was very funny. And I was auditioning for a part in it, and so I'm in the room, and it's just Larry and one other lady, and they're on a couch, and I'm in the middle of the room. And I'm in the middle of a scene, I think, you know, talking to the lady on the couch. Mm-hmm. And like mid-scene, Larry goes, stop right there. And I was like, okay. And he's like, look at me. And I was like, okay. This is so weird.
Yeah.
And he's like, take 2 steps forward. And I was like, all right. And he's like, now turn around and look up. And there was literally a huge spider coming down from the ceiling, literally about to land on my head.
Oh.
And he saved my life.
but then didn't you say to him, you turned and said, you have to let me be in the movie now, or something like that.
I don't know.
They gave you the part on the spot.
Yeah, I think
like
he
she
was
survived
like,
a spider. We got to put her in the movie.
Yeah, he was like, okay, you've got it. But I don't think I said, you have to put me in the movie now.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Like, oh, fuck, I guess I have to put her in. So anyway, yeah, which is great because I met Larry billions of years ago. And then... one of the actresses in the movie happened to be his niece, and then she and I became best friends.
Oh.
And then I ended up, for years, babysitting Larry's kids.
Wow.
I didn't really babysit them. I just thought they were the cutest things in the world, and mm-hmm. so I would go play with them at his house, and they had, like a little Harry Potter cave under the stairs that they made into, like, cute little, you know, playhouses.
Well, thank you, Spider, for enriching Meredith's life, and... we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, Patton Oswalt.
Meredith Salinger.
We went to a movie last night.
Yes. Oh, this. I wanted to talk about this as well, but yes, go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to talk about the movie. I wanted to talk about the drive home.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't really the drive home that I care about. It was, there was a poster that we drove by.
A billboard.
a billboard
right.
for a new movie called Passing.
Yes.
And it stars Ruth Negga and Tessa Thompson.
Yes.
And basically the movie is about how, well, I don't know what it's about, but basically something like these two black girls maybe posed as white women back in the day.
Or one is passing for white and the other one isn't.
Anyway, something like that.
Right.
But it made me think of a story that happened a million years ago, and I don't know if I told you this story.
No.
But back in like 1992 or 93 when I had graduated from college, I was doing all these pilots and I was doing this stuff, and my manager called and he left a message on my answering machine.
Right.
And he said, he's laughing. He's like, he used to call me Merv. I don't know why he called me Merv, but that was my nickname. He's like, Merv. He was like my brother. We were such good friends. Anyway, he's like laughing on the phone. And he's like, Merv, you got to call me back. Something hilarious. This is so funny. You got to call me right back. I have an offer for you for something. And I was like, oh, gosh, I wonder what it is. And then literally the next message on the answering machine, which was 5 minutes later, it's him again. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, you know, just call me back. It's not that funny. I just call me back. I want to talk to you about something. And he sounded really serious. Like,
oh.
So I called him back and he was kind of nervous. And he's like, so I got an offer for you to go on a talk show with Lisa Bonet and Jasmine Guy talking about how you guys can play white.
Wait.
And so.
Wait, what?
It was. And I, so then of course I burst out laughing because clearly he was like thinking that's ridiculous because he knows that I'm white.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's laughing because, oh, somebody clearly thinks that I'm mixed or something.
Right.
And then the second call was like, holy shit, what if I just insulted her and she actually is.
Right.
Then he was questioning himself like, wait, is she half black? Like,
right.
Didn't know. He knows my dad. My dad is like one of those New York Jews who is super tan.
Yes.
He also happens to look like Bill Cosby a little bit. And he also wore those sweaters that Bill Cosby used to wear.
But he also kind of looks like Jack Gilford. He has that great New York Jewish look to him.
But he could also be black. Anyway, my manager was so stressed out because he thought he insulted me that perhaps that I'm just a full-blown white girl, but he thought, oh gosh, but these people who offered me the show literally thought that I was part black.
You should have gone with it.
And just gone on the show?
And then halfway through, then pretend like you're just now realizing like, oh, I thought you were talking about making the transition from TV to movies. What are you talking about?
No.
What are you talking about? Like, I mean, get really angry and make the whole
anyway,
thing.
I was very flattered because I think Lisa Bonet and Jasmine Guy are gorgeous. And I'm like, if I have some of that little flavor to me, I'm fucking thrilled.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just
it.
A boring Jewish girl.
Well, there's no, you're not a boring Jew.
I don't know. But those girls are so gorgeous. Look at Tessa.
They are insanely
Look
gorgeous.
At Ruth. They're,
well, I think Ruth is playing the, I've only seen the trailer. I think Ruth is playing the woman who is quote unquote passing.
Right.
You know, it's
she's tricking her husband.
Yeah, it's like those 50s melodramas like Pinky and, you know, about people when Hollywood was first putting a little toe in the pool of race relations. So they're trying to do that now. Ruth is really interesting. She's such an interesting actress. Her range is crazy because she was in Preacher, where she plays
so
kind
good.
Of that Southern Texas girl, but she's totally British.
Everyone's amazing.
And also is ridiculously good looking. Like, almost is so beautiful. She's edging into Eerie Valley territory where it's a kind of beautiful where it's almost too beautiful sometimes. You're like, is that a person?
You're weird.
No, I'm not. She's ridiculously beautiful.
Yes, but it doesn't edge into any weird thing.
I'm not saying it edges into weirdness. I'm saying it's the same way that, like, sometimes John Hamm edges into a level of handsomeness. Tina Fey had that line about him. He looks like a cartoon of a pilot. Like one of those drawings of a handsome 50s pilot where you're like, is that a person?
Yeah,
like, you know, that's what
he looks like.
Like
he was created.
Yes, yeah. And so does Ruth.
She's gorgeous.
She just is gorgeous. She was I was on an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with her, and she just was incredible.
Was she like an alien or something?
She was a Hydra agent who was trying to defect to our side, and I was the one who had to protect
her.
Wait,
can I just ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
I know this is a series, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess
brace yourselves for a rabbit hole, people. Here we go.
Okay, no, I'm really curious. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you guys are all like spy. You guys are all like police people trying to find the aliens. Is it like a Men in Black thing?
Kind of.
And what? And you're like a million people.
I'm a series of quints.
What does that mean? Oh, you're a five people. So you really you're not like a weird alien type person. You're actually a quintuplet.
Although early in the series,
so you're just a regular person.
Yes, but they would. My character would tease the other characters that I might be an alien, I might be a Skrull, or I might be an android.
What's a Skrull?
A Skrull are these shape shifting aliens. They were in the Captain Marvel movie.
Huh?
Oh boy. Anyway, so.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, the movie. So we went to a movie, and okay, so I talked about the thing I wanted to talk about.
I'm going to talk about the movie because I want to tell you a really embarrassing story.
Well, tell me.
Not on the same level as your manager calling you and saying, hey, you and Lisa Bonet, right? Right when I did a series for Comedy Central called Comedians of Comedy, it was me, Brian Posehn, Maria Bamford, Zach Galifianakis. I get a call from my agent saying Zach's agent and your agent have been approached about you two going on VH1 Celebrity Fit Club and trying to be. And I was like, wait, what? And they go, yeah, because we're chubby guys. So they wanted us to go on. And then my initial reaction was, well, no. And they said, well, you know, you only go in. It's not like a Big Brother situation. You just go in once a week and you tape and they weigh you. And then you do like an hour of like, you know, fun video stuff where you guys are working out. And then the rest of the week, you're on your own. And we actually toyed with the idea for like a minute.
Of getting fatter the whole time?
We should say yes, and go in, and then during the week, just like do like a De Niro during Raging Bull when he's like just putting, and every week I'm going, but then the whole time like, I'm doing all the workouts you're giving me, and I put on 8 pounds. But they were like, this is so not worth it. We're doing an Andy level Kaufman style prank for something that no one will see.
And then you're also just ruining your
own
self.
And we're wrecking our health. What's the point?
Right. Okay.
But for a minute, we did consider doing that. So.
Anyway, that's hilarious, Patton.
Hey, I was going to save this for Patton's picks at the end, but I want to talk about this at length because I've been thinking about this all day.
Oh, God, you want to talk about something at length? Like, you can't just do a quip?
If you were, like, a really, like, sassy 80s sitcom character, you would go, you want to talk about something at length so we're not going to be talking about your penis? Is that what you're... Anyway, last night, Meredith and I got to go see Paul Thomas Anderson's new film, Licorice Pizza.
It was cool, man.
And, boy, was it good. It is about teens in the early 70s in the Valley. But what it really... It gets so many things right.
Well, it stars Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, who is a revelation, I think.
And it stars Alana Haim.
From the band Haim,
who is also a friggin' revelation.
She's a revelation.
As far as I know, this is her first film.
Anyway, it was so cute, too, because her whole family's in the movie.
As her family.
Her parents are her parents, and her two sisters are her sisters.
And her dad is funny as this cranky old Jewish guy.
Yeah,
like,
it was great.
The fuck is this?
Yeah.
So good.
Anyway. Wait, Sean Penn is also in it.
Well, there's a lot. The cast is amazing.
And Tom Waits is in it.
Sean Penn, Tom Waits, Bradley Cooper, Ben Stiller. Some very cool. John C. Reilly is hidden in there very brilliantly.
Leonardo DiCaprio's dad.
Spielberg's daughter. There's a lot of just family connection stuff going on. DiCaprio's dad's great in his one scene. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's a waterbed salesman. So, but what it really... What really landed for me was how just the ongoing casual child endangerment that was growing up in the 70s.
That's
it
so
was
true.
Just nonstop. The more I mean, I don't really think about it because I'm older now and we're raising our daughter the
safely.
Way we try. It's safe. Although, so here now, here's what I'm stuck on though. Back then, they thought they were at the cutting edge of safety
no,
and raising
didn't.
Your kids right. Every parent did. This
no,
is how you raise
not.
Your kids. You let
they
them
They never even thought about it. They just let the kids do what they want to do. It wasn't like, we're on the cutting edge of safety.
But I'm saying they would scoff at the way kids were raised in the 50s
no,
and 40s.
Not.
The way
Why
they
would
were
you
raising
think
kids.
That?
Because the parents were like, we're so much more progressive. We're raising so much more tuned in kids. You know, I
disagree.
I grew up around kids whose parents would smoke weed with them because that this is a cooler way to raise kids. I think that letting your kids run around all night was considered. Well, look, when I was
growing
up. But
they weren't thinking that was part of safety. You just said
well,
it was.
But they did think it was part of a healthy childhood. I remember coming home. This is in the 70s. I was a latchkey kid at the height of, like, child abduction and murderers everywhere. Those numbers have decreased, but it was about go outside and do not come back until dinner.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to be a bad parent keeping you inside watching TV. That's bad parenting.
Go play.
Run outside.
Yes.
Where there's no way I can contact you.
Exactly.
And when the sun goes down, come back.
Correct.
That was considered good parenting back then.
That, okay.
It was.
Yeah.
And it also just
they
was,
didn't think they were on the cutting edge of safety. So just roll well, that statement back right now. Just acknowledge that I'm right.
Anyway.
Ugh.
They, but yeah, just the stuff that kids were allowed to do because the parents just were not
okay,
paying
great.
Attention.
And so the movie, you're going to talk about the movie.
Well, I'm just trying to, what the movie is leading me to a, I just, look. As far as the movie is concerned, go see it. There's stuff I don't want to talk about in the movie because there are so many genuine surprises. It's a very episodic. It feels like a series of short stories
it feels
that
like
connect
you're actually,
about someone's life.
It feels like you're actually back in that time, in that place with those people. Like, it's very immersive, I felt like.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I loved it.
But I'm trying to think of all of the insanely dangerous things
like
that
no
I just...
Like no seatbelts?
Casually. No seatbelts sitting up front.
Yep.
Cigarette smoke. Everywhere.
Yeah. Do you remember when there was cigarette smoke on airplanes?
Well, do you remember when there was the non-smoking section of
yeah.
the airplane, which is such absolute bullshit?
Yeah.
You're in a sealed tube.
I know.
What is the point?
It's crazy. You and I are so, so stuck in nostalgia for the 70s. It's so
oh,
crazy.
No. I'm not stuck in nostalgia. If anything, I'm stuck in fascinated horror at what we... The fact that we're alive is kind of miraculous. The stuff that we were allowed to do, the no safety in toys, the toys we were given,
oh, yeah.
The toxic paint on everything, the horrible ingredients in every
oh,
thing
yeah.
of food that we ate.
Loved
it was
it.
Just...
The sugar cereal,
none.
The Twinkies.
Stop!
I just posed for a picture. the booth, there's a very cute girl in the booth, and I just looked to my right, I caught her in my line of vision.
Oh, you're all about, like,
wait
getting
a second.
The pose ready.
I actually need to talk about this.
All right, go ahead.
I caught her in my line of vision, and she took a picture of me, and I'm leaning forward, and, like, clearly she's getting a fat roll.
Oh,
so
see.
Just be quiet. And so I turned around, I saw her, and I smiled for her, right,
mm-hmm.
as you do. Last night, before the movie that we went to see, we rushed and we stopped for a quick dinner.
Yeah.
And I ordered a salad, and clearly at one point you thought I looked cute, and you took out your camera and you took a picture of me.
Yeah, you're eating your salad.
Yeah. And I look cute. Definitely. I was adorable.
Yeah.
It was a great shot. However, I'm like mid-chew. You didn't even let me pose. Like, I'm literally chewing. It's a horror. Yes, I happened to look cute that night and the background was good, but the photo itself is mid-chew. Why didn't you just, like, say, you look cute and give me a second to, like...
I thought it looked adorable.
Ay.
I thought it looked adorable.
Every picture I take of you is so good. And every picture you take of me is always terrible.
Well, because every picture you take of me, you take 5 minutes going, no, wait, turn, make sure the light hits. Like, it's friggin' Kubrick, where I'm like, I'll grab it. I want life. I want to grab life as it is.
Yeah, and then you have, like, these hideous photos of me that I won't let you post and I won't let you do anything with.
Well, would you be okay then?
I mean, you could just scroll through and enjoy myself, which is what a photo's for,
what
I guess.
Someday,
it's to catch a memory.
What if someday you had a chance to be in a, like, a Softy Brothers film or a Sean Baker film or
look
a
at me for a second.
What?
I do not mind looking like crap on camera. If there's a character
uh-huh.
and I'm in that role of character,
right.
I don't care if I am whatever, covered in dirt, crying hysterically, look hideous, disgusting. That's the kind of role I like.
I don't mean...
But in real life,
yeah.
when you take a picture of me,
right.
I don't want to look like I'm a character in a movie doing something gross.
But I don't mean covered in, like, Alana Haim and Seymour Hoffman's son, which I'm blanking
that's...
on his name. I feel terrible. But they are not covered in dirt, but they're also not wearing any makeup. Like, they're zits. There's scenes where they're sweating.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
they
a
look
movie.
The way that people look in the 70s.
Yes, in a movie.
So you'd be okay doing that?
In a movie, I'll look as shitty as possible. I prefer roles like that. I like to be gritty and gross and all those things and on drugs and dying and someone, you know.
But again, what I'm saying, they weren't being gritty and gross. They were trying to be as pretty as they could
be. I'm not saying they were gritty and gross. I'm saying when you take a picture of me, can you just let me finish the chew?
Okay.
Just finish the chew.
So you don't want to ever be seen eating on camera?
Can you get this through your head? As an actress, I will literally do anything except be naked.
Yeah.
And in real life, no, I don't want to look disgusting.
Okay. All right.
Do you understand the difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, this film, it just made me think that how did we survive that era? How did more kids not die in the 70s and 80s through sheer benign parental neglect?
I don't know, man.
Just not knowing, you know, skateboards with no knee pads, bikes with no helmet, nothing.
Seatbelts, all the whole thing.
All day music festivals, no bottled water, no hydration, no sunscreen, just...
Well, we all have skin cancer now. Pat and Peter Oswalt.
Meredith Dawn Salinger.
You are currently on a comedian-type tour where you go to places and stand up and do comedy.
I leave on a Friday, I come home Sunday, but yes.
Right, so you...
I'm not on the road permanently, that would kill me.
Right. It'd be kind of cool for me. But the other day, we were invited to a birthday party for a friend of ours. And you couldn't go.
I know.
But I'm really good friends with the girl who threw the birthday party. Right. And she's like, come, you'll know everybody. And the truth of the matter is, I usually do know
everybody. Yes, you do.
Everybody.
Right.
I was in Africa on the equator.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew someone at the equator.
Wow.
In fact, I saw John Ritter on the equator in Africa.
Did he trip over it and do a funny pratfall?
Yeah, he did. His kid and my little brother, I think they went to school together.
Huh.
Anyway, I knew him. And I do. I literally know everybody. I will be on anytime I go anywhere, even if there's like a layover in an airport, mm-hmm. I'll see like an old friend or someone that, what are you doing here?
Right.
Any party I go to, I at least know three people. Right. It's kind of a thing with me and my friends. Mm-hmm. We go to a restaurant or a party, and my best friend will be like, let's take a bet. How many people do you think you're going to know? And I'm like, at least three.
Right.
She's like, I think it'll be one today, and it ends up being like seven.
Nice.
So I went to this party the other day without you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, no, everybody. It's fine. Not a big deal. And I got there, and of course, I saw my friend who's throwing the party, mm-hmm. gave her a huge hug. And I looked around and knew nobody.
Wow.
Like, nobody. There were so many different age groups of people at this party, and I knew no one. And I was like, oh, God, this is what normal people feel like when they go to a party. And it was really awkward. And so, you know, I'm a friendly person, and I'm Chatty Cathy, and I can talk to anyone, and so I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, my inner soul was kind of like, I'm a little bit anxious. A little bit. And, and then I saw it just so happened, my sister's brother. Oh, no, excuse me. Nope, not my sister's brother.
Leave it in, Kyle.
My sister's husband.
Right.
He also knew the girl because they went to college together.
Oh.
And when I saw him walk in, I was so excited. I screamed his name. I'm like, Steven! And I screamed super loud. And I see him like looking around, like, where's mm-hmm. that voice coming from? Yeah. And I literally screamed, Steven! I also said his last name, and I screamed it super loud. And he finally finds me, and he's like, oh, God. Like, he gave me the look like, Jesus Christ, did you have to scream
up.
That loud?
Right.
Huge party. So anyway, he was there, and so I was chatting with him for a while. And we were talking, and he's, like, in finance.
Yeah.
And some guy at the party came up to both of us as we were chatting mm-hmm. and came up to him and was like, hey, Steven, what do you think? Do you think the market's going to bust? And asked, like, a question like that.
Right.
And then proceeded for a half hour to just talk. Literally, like, just go, do you think the market's going to bust? Because I think. And then he just kept going and going and going and going. And I was, like, trying to be polite and, like, smile mm-hmm. and nod. I knew not of what they spoke.
Yeah.
It was all finance.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that kind of stuff.
Right.
Literally no clue. Mm-hmm. So I'm nodding and I'm, like, trying to think, like, let them say something interesting that I could make some sort of cute little, let's change the subject, because I can tell my brother-in-law is also like, oi, Yeah. This guy won't shut up. He asked me a question and he will not shut up.
Right.
And so the guy kept going and going, and then he kind of paused for a second, and Steven said like two words, and then the guy went on another 15-minute rant.
Yikes.
And I'm still there going, I need to get out of this. How do I get out of this? I don't want to be a bitch and leave, not be my brother-in-law's wingman, because I could tell he didn't like it either.
Yeah.
But it was his realm.
Yeah, you're not going to contribute anything.
I'm not contributing anything. So the guy, so then Steven says like five words, and then the guy starts in again, and I'm like, this fucking thing is going to go on for another 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I need my out. And I looked at Steven, and I was like, hey, I got to go. And I give him a huge hug and a kiss. I was like, bye. And I left.
You abandoned him.
I literally was like, but the whole time I was just like, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? And then it just was too much for me. And I was like,
oh,
I got to go.
Man.
So I left, and then I called him. No, he called me the next morning, and he's like, you abandoned me. I was like, what was I? I didn't know what to do. It was so long. It was boring me to death. You were so that topic is so boring. Literally nobody else can chime in on a fucking conversation about finance.
Right. Well, look, they can, but you have to be the kind of person who knows how to converse with humans. And this guy clearly didn't know how to do that.
Yeah, no, he didn't know. Yeah. He didn't leave an opening for a comment or a question, nothing. And the first thing he came up for was advice. And he literally didn't even give him a chance to give advice.
Oh, so he asked advice, but then just kept firing stuff at him.
Yes.
Oh.
But then at some point during the party, I did see four of my little actor friends, and I sat with them, and that was great. When I say little actor friends, they were not little actor friends.
You sat on a little mushroom together.
Yeah, we all sat on a mushroom, and we talked about
it. Smoked a little hookah. It was really cute.
Yeah. And then we were all like, and then I had to go. But it's hard to go to a party and not know someone. And I had compassion for people who have social anxiety. And, by the way, you don't particularly like to go to parties sometimes.
No. I like to hang out with a couple of friends, but a big party to me is because you're always, especially, I just want to talk to someone, but I don't want to talk to a bunch of people and have to keep moving my focus around. It's just, it's exhausting.
Yeah, I'm good flitting about a party, but only if people are, of the same like conversation ish. I mean, I can handle a conversation with somebody else who has a different topic of interest, a different field of study. I can talk to an accountant if they're normal and like let you speak.
Right.
Anyway, the party was beautiful and it was great hosting and it was amazing, and I kept thinking to myself, I am the worst hostess.
What?
I don't like hosting because I'm never good at it. So this is something I...
Well, you are... Okay, look, you're not great at... Because neither of us really cook, so it's like, I got to go buy some food and lay it out on a platter. But as far as making people feel welcome and connecting people, you're amazing at that.
Well, that's the part I'm good at. But setting it up to look pretty and putting the food out is not my thing. So listen.
Look, I have been at plenty of parties where the food is wonderfully laid out, but the host or hostess does not know how to get the party moving.
Right.
Or, how to connect
people. So you have to have both.
Yeah.
So there are some people who make an amazing layout, but like there's tension in the house and you feel awkward being there and they're not a good hostess and that.
But you can make up for not being a good cook if you just go, I'm just going to have it catered. Like, as long as you can.
Yeah, but the whole thing, babe, is that you need to set it up to look nice. So listen. So my best friend, Ever Carradine, who is going to be on the show, we're bringing her in as a guest. She's hilarious and amazing.
Yeah.
She is literally like the best hostess ever. And I've said this before.
She is pretty amazing.
She comes over. She's like, we should have people over at your house and swim. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, I'll bring the flowers. I'll bring the cheese plate.
Incredible.
I'll bring this because she knows I can't do it. So the other day, in fact, it was yesterday, I was talking to her and I was saying, I really want to throw a dinner party, but I'm not good at this. Could you? I looked at her. I was like, I will pay you $1,000 if you will come to my house and cook and set up the party and make it look pretty. And then I went, and then you can leave. And she was like, at first she was totally on board.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I'll cook. I'll set it up. That's great. And then I was like, and you can leave. And she's like, oh, I'm not invited to this dinner party. I'm the help. What are you going to do? Make me leave out the back door and hide until your friends come over? And she was so... and then we burst out laughing, and I was like, what am I saying? You're the only person I'd want at this dinner party anyway, so.
Exactly, yeah. Who else would you invite besides Ever?
I don't know, but
she's the only one you want to hang out
but
with.
But I literally was like, could you please come over and do everything, and then just leave.
And then leave.
I'll pay you, and you can just go.
My friend Todd Glass has a great bit. Todd Glass loves throwing dinner parties. He's really good at both aspects of it. And he does, he's the kind of host where he can make the whole evening fun, where he'll do a thing where a random person gets to be the king of the party, and they do like special things, and they get to, like, he just makes the party really, really fun. But he goes, what he cannot stand is when he's throwing a dinner party, and he'll send out an invite saying, dinner party starts at 8, and someone will show up at 7:30. With that attitude of, anything I can do to help? And he's like, yeah, you can leave.
Yeah, because you're not ready
go
yet.
Go away. And, also, when an invite says 8 p.m., what the host is saying is
8:15. Yep.
Yeah.
Don't
means I'll be ready at 8. Don't you show up at 8 o'clock.
Right. Except if it's your best friend's party, in which case you better be there at 8 so that when the next person comes, there's someone there so you don't look like a,
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want that second person feeling awkward.
That makes sense.
So you have to ask your best friend, get here literally right on time so that all my other guests feel like this is a fun party.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
So, yeah.
I love that.
Just like at our wedding, this is really funny. At our wedding, I had been at a wedding a few months before our wedding,
right.
And the bride was like, to her best friends, she's like, you bitches better be on the dance floor and dancing the entire time. Do not stop. I want this party
to be
fun and you're dancing. And so when it was my wedding, I said to her, I'm like, you better stay. She's like, I will be on the dance floor. It wasn't difficult. Questlove was DJing. I think
that was
everybody
pretty easy.
Was on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was easy. But
my parents got on the dance floor when Questlove started spinning. That really says something.
They did?
They were at the edge, but they were like kind of bopping up and down.
Oh my God, I didn't even see that.
That's the power of Questlove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say something and I forgot what I was going to say.
Talking about hosting parties and ever and paying her money and sending her away like she's the help. And it was a whole Charlotte Bronte situation.
Anyway, I've lost my train of thought, but this was a good conversation, Pat.
This was fantastic. We'll be right back. Now it's time for Did You Get Our Picks?
We'll tell you what we like, what we really, really like.
Yeah, tell me what you like, what you really, really like.
Hey, let's do our picks. One of the picks we've already talked about in the show, Paul Thomas Anderson's Licorice Pizza. Go see it.
Yes, yeah,
it's fantastic.
Cool. Very indie.
I know this is a movie that I will go watch again, probably in a theater, because it is so packed with. He loves whipping the camera by very dense detail. Scorsese does that a lot. Where
he also had a lot of running scenes. Everybody's running in that movie.
Yeah, a lot of running. Really good. Everyone got their Fitbit steps in that film.
I always wonder when there's lots of running, is it all like a Steadicam shot? Because I've run in movies. I've been running. I ran a lot.
Did you run?
When I did The Journey of Natty Gann, every scene was running.
More like The Journey of Natty Ran. Get it? Because the last name.
Oh my God, you're so annoying.
Anyway, okay. Licorice Pizza, fantastic.
Yeah, go see it.
Books. A friend of mine, a writer and poet named Bucky Sinister.
Bucky
Sinister.
Sinister.
Old friend of mine from early 90s San Francisco days. Has an e-zine that he puts out. You can go to his Twitter feed at Bucky Sinister or his website, buckysinister.com. It's called Grunt, and it is a e-zine. Subscribe to his Patreon. He just writes little reviews of books, movies, and recounts experiences, a lot of which, look, I'm a little partial to this e-zine. It's a short one. You get it one every month. It's called Grunt. A lot of the stories he covers are the times that we were all of us back in San Francisco in the 90s with me, Brian Posehn, Blaine Capatch.
Yeah, your favorite people.
All those people. But he really captures, it's an ongoing, he's writing an ongoing narrative capturing the early 90s, much in the same way that Paul Thomas Anderson captured the 70s in Licorice Pizza. Someday.
Just well.
These e-zines could be lashed together to form some kind of story or film.
Well, let's produce that shit. Money. Just kidding.
But he also, there's a lot of money in early 90s Gen X nostalgia.
You don't know.
And he also wrote a really amazing book. I believe he self-published this, but it's called Get Up, A 12-Step Guide to Recovery for Misfits, Freaks, and Weirdos. And why this is important is he was a...
Recovery from what?
Booze and drugs. He was a raging alcoholic. A raging alcoholic, because that was the pose. He was very much into Bukowski, very much into Fante, and Burroughs, and all those people. thinking I've got to be fucked up to create.
Right.
And he, it's an amazing book about recovery for people who would normally think that being in recovery is unhip and not cool, or I don't want to go share. And it's his way, how he got through it. And there's a lot of this book. I wish this book had gotten more attention, because it would have helped a lot of people that were kind of grabbing onto that whole barfly pose. There's a scene in Barfly where Alice Krieg is talking to Mickey Rourke, and she says, you could live, because she's very rich, she goes, you could live in my house and you could get sober and you could write in peace. And then he goes, no writer who could ever worth a damn could write in peace. And I was like, oh no, that caused a lot of people to burn their lives out thinking, that's how I've got to be creative. It's like, no, you can actually get yourself clean and still write amazing stuff.
Right. I think a lot of musicians go through that.
Yes, a lot of them go through that. So there you go. The E-Zine Grunt and the book Get Up, A 12-Step Guide to Recovery for Misfits, Freaks, and Weirdos. Music. I'm sorry, I've been listening to Amy Mann's new album on a loop. I know I recommended it a couple episodes ago, and it's still Queens of the Summer Hotel. It is fantastic.
We listened to it on the way over It was really pretty.
It's so beautiful.
Oh my God, her lyrics.
And,
What was that lyric that she said?
Well, there was one, you're a balloon and the whole world's a pin.
Oh my God.
Yes!
That was so, and there's pins all around you or something like that.
No, you're a balloon and the whole world's a pin.
No, because it was more than one pin. Because my imagery was like this balloon having to like navigate through these.
But I think it was
this
like,
maze.
She's like, every substance of the world is made up of pins, but it's all collectively
one.
Well,
I think when she
said
the
world's there to just burst you and destroy
you. I think it was pins, not pin. And by the way.
Well, I'm going to listen to it again today.
You know what else we're going to do?
What?
We're going to ask Amy Mann and her incredibly talented husband, Michael Penn, to be on our show.
And she can can resolve that argument.
We are going to have guests soon. Not all the time. When we feel like it. We are like those kind of fly by the seat of your pants kind of people.
Someone we like, we'll bring them in.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone we hate.
Ooh.
And we'll just grill them.
Yeah.
We should bring in old enemies that did us wrong.
I don't have any enemies.
Mm.
What was that? You think like I have enemies?
I mean, everyone's got some enemies, don't they?
I don't think I do.
I have some frenemies.
Meanwhile, there's girls listening to this who are like, I'm your fucking enemy and you didn't even know it. They're like, oh, you don't think you have enemies? What about me?
Yeah.
In high school, you were blah, blah, blah.
There's a great scene in Gross Point Blank when John Cusack goes back to his high school reunion and he meets this old bully who is like holding a grudge against him. And then John Cusack has to like calm him down. It's like, do you understand there's no us? I don't remember you. It's not
right.
He can't remember. And the guy, and it's this great actor who's been in a bunch of other stuff. He was in Southland. He was in Band of Brothers. He's this amazing actor. And then he goes, I wrote a poem, and he wants to read his poetry. And it's such an amazing scene where he realizes I've held this grudge, and the guy has literally never thought of me once.
I think a lot of people who like attempt to shoot presidents and stuff like that have that thought. Or like, you know, the John Lennon guy who killed
Mark David Chapman.
All those people, they have this like obsession with someone and the other person doesn't even they're not even on their radar. Who are you? It's kind of sad.
Oh, it's
sad.
The story about Arthur Bremer, the guy that shot George Wallace and inspired the movie Taxi Driver. One detail of his story was he left a bag at the airport. Like, he was traveling in the country. He bought a gun, but then it fell down in between the seat of his car, and he couldn't get to it, so he had to go buy another gun. Then he left a bag at the airport, and they announced his name over the PA, like, we have found your, Arthur Bremer, we found your bag. And he was, for the rest of the day, he was happy because he heard his name over a public address system.
Wow.
Which may, again, he's a psychotic killer, but, oh my God,
but
that is so...
Say.
And then finally, comic books. Wow, what a great segue. A new comic came out a couple weeks ago regarding the matter of Oswald's body. This is by Christopher Cantwell with art by Luca Casalaguina. I know I'm saying that wrong. And Giada Marchico. This is basically about the days leading up to the Kennedy assassination, and this is
Whoa,
this guy's.
Wow, how do we get on that?
Comic book, but it's a great link from Arthur Bremmer.
Wow, that's crazy.
But it's this guy's alternate theory as to what he thinks happened. It's obviously it's total bullshit, but it is every conspiracy theorist's dream of. Obviously, Oswald is just a patsy. Here's the actual team that they assembled. But the team that he's assembling is so bizarre and so weird. I've only read the first issue, but the first issue is so fucking good. It's great. Regarding the matter of Oswald's body, because, you know, one of the big conspiracy theories is the body in that grave in Texas, that is not Oswald's body. He actually lived. There was a double.
John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife lived. They're going to be at a rally.
They were back in Dallas.
At the concert.
Last night.
Whose concert were they at?
I don't know if they were at a concert. They gathered and they were all singing We Are the World.
I mean, it's unbelievable how people are so weird. Are those all your picks, babe?
Those are my picks, babe.
Hey, Patton. Mm-hmm. You know when we do these podcasts and I'm like super, super chatty?
Yeah.
It's because we never get to speak to each other.
That is true.
And then I feel like I have lots to say.
Good.
So this is a really good podcast for me. I don't know if you guys listen and find
that was the same level of pathos as Arthur Bremmer hearing his voice. I don't get to talk to you, so this podcast is so nice.
It matters to me, and I get to see you and talk to you because you're a human, and we don't just have to text each other all day.
We talk all the time.
We don't. We text, and you know it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Chapter 8 of A Crumbling Marriage. We will see you next week.
Or you will hear us next week.
Oh, that's right. You'll hear us next week.
Because we are not on video.
God dang it.
And you are not on video.
No.
Thus, we will not see you.
Exactly.
But, hey, guys, thanks for listening. This was super fun.
Yeah. See you soon.
Again, it's not see you.
You will hear us soon.
This podcast is a production of Meredith Salinger and Patton Oswalt.
In association with Starburns Audio. Executive producers are Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. And if you have questions for us, send them to...
Hey, did you get my text? @gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe to this podcast. It's free, and it helps us get to keep making the show.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.